This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wasalam ala rasulillah. This looks like an Arabic, mashallah, sitting, you know, with the brothers, and, you know, they're having, mashallah, nice tea, tamar, kada. It reminds me of how we do it back home, you know, and jazakallah khair. But may Allah Azza wa Jal bless you. Jazakumullah khair for coming. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. May Allah عز وجل shower His mercy upon you. May Allah عز وجل bless you and bless the time which you have taken from your busy schedule to come and join us here today. We'll make it worthwhile, inshallah, for all of you. Today we're going to talk about how to raise our parents. Yes, things have moved sort of like upside down. So it is us who, you know, parents who try to raise their children, but in the West, the children are raising the parents. So how to raise our parents? So inshallah ta'ala, this will be the topic today. But first, let me just, you know, set the stage and tell you about the blessings of such gathering, just so you know that you're not here wasting your time. Some of you maybe were just passing by, then they happened to know that there's a halaqah and that they just sat. But some of you did come actually to pray and to attend this beautiful gathering, and then also to pray Isha. So let me tell you what we get off of these kind of gatherings, whereby the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla has been mentioned. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says in this beautiful hadith, and the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. لِلَّهِ مَلَائِكَةٌ يَتَجَوَّلُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there are angels, جَوَّالًا يَتَجَوَّلُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. There are angels who travel. They travel around the globe looking for this type of gathering whereby the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned. This is their job. These angels have a job. Their only job is to look for such gathering. And they come and they sit and they listen. And then when the gathering is over, they go back up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah knows where they've been. Oh Allah, we found people. This is what they say. We found your servants who are glorifying you and praising you because they love you. Who loves Allah? Just so I can make sure that, because maybe I'm talking the wrong people here. Who loves Allah? Oh, okay, alhamdulillah, everybody, huh? Alhamdulillah. They say, Ya Rabbi, yuhibbunak. They love you, they love you. And then Allah says, وَهَلْ رَأَوْنِي Have they seen me? How can you love Allah without seeing Him? Have they seen me? And the angels, they say, لا يا ربي, they haven't seen you. And then Allah asks them the question, how about if they were to see me? How about if they were to see me? The angels reply, Ya Rabbi, if they were to see you, they would love you more, praise you more, glorify you more. And Allah asked them the question now, and what are they asking me of? These people who gather to praise me, what do they want from me? What do they want from me? What are they asking me for? They say, Ya Rabbi, yas'alunaka al-jannah. Oh Allah, they ask you for your jannah. I want to ask another question. Who wants to go to jannah? I'm sorry, I need to ask, I need to understand, right? So I know who I'm talking to, you know. Because if you don't want to go to Jannah, there's only another destination which you don't want to go to. So, Jannah, anyone interested? Tayyib, alhamdulillah. They say, Ya Rabbi, yas'alunaka al-Jannah. They ask you for Jannah. And then Allah asks them another question. They say, have they seen it? وَهَلْ رَأَوْهَا Have they seen Jannah? They say, no, Ya Rabbi, they haven't seen it. So Allah asks them, how about if they were to see it? How about if they were to see Jannah? Oh Allah, if they were to see Jannah, they will make sure to work harder to be admitted to it. And then Allah asks them another question. They say, وَمِمَّا يَتَعَوَّذُونَ What are they seeking refuge from? What are they seeking refuge from? They say, Ya Rabbi, and Allah knows, but He keeps asking these questions. What are they seeking refuge from? Ya Rabbi, they're seeking refuge from Jahannam. They want Jannah and they want to be saved from Jahannam. And Allah asked the final question, وَهَلْ رَأَوْهَا Have they seen it? Have they seen Jahannam?
The angels, they say, Ya Rabbi, la, la, la. They have not seen it. So Allah asked them another question. وَمَاذَ لَوْ رَأَوْهَا How about if they were to see it? How about if they were to see Jahannam? This, Ya Rabbi, if they were to see Jahannam, they will make sure to stay away from haram and do only halal so that they do not enter it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end, He says, Oh my angels, you all be witness. Shadu, you all be witness. I forgive all of them. I forgive all of them. So my brothers, my sisters, you came here today to be forgiven. You did not come here today to drink the tea because you have better tea at home. You did not come here today because you're handsome. Allah did not choose you to be here today because you're healthy, because there are people who are healthier than you and wealthier than you. They're not here with us today. Allah knows. You came here today, you've been selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meticulously selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come here today. Just so you're forgiven because of the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad that Allah at the end when he says, Ya malaikati shahadu, O my angels, you all be witness, or you all witness, I forgive all of them. What earned us the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal? This type of gathering whereby the name of Allah is mentioned. You see, we're all here to praise Allah and to glorify Him. Allahumma lakal hamd. At the end of this event, what will happen? There's another hadith which is also sound and authentic in Bukhari and Muslim. Narrated by Abu Huraira when the Prophet Muhammad says, مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ When some people gather in one of the houses of Allah, in a place of gathering, any place of gathering, whereby the name of Allah is mentioned, few things will happen to them. What will happen to them? Let me tell you what will happen to them. The Prophet says, إِلَّا وَغَشَّتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ Number one, I'm going to ask you questions. Please remember. And if you answer the question, I'll give you some dates. We Muslims, we eat dates. We don't date. We eat dates. Do we? Just to make double. Oh, you can date your wife. Yeah, yeah. But we eat dates. But yeah, you date your wife. Yeah, I'm wrong. You're right. Where was I? The seat. Huh? Ah, Allah is akhir. He says, when people, they get together just like this, to praise Allah, to glorify Him, to make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, غَشَّتُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ Rahmah of Allah will overwhelm them. Rahmah, mercy of Allah will overwhelm them. That's number one. Number two, وَنَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ And sakina, tranquility will descend upon them. You know sakina, tranquility? You know, the peace of heart, the peace of mind, you know, the comfort, the serenity. That sakina, the coolness, sakina, will descend upon them. When you stay here in the masajid, for instance, and learn and listen to the kalam Allah, sakina will descend upon you. That's number two. Number three, wa nazalat wa haffathumu al-malaika, and the angels will surrender their wings on top of them. Right now, at this very particular moment, the angels are with us. They're spreading their wings. It's not me who's saying. Rasulullah Hussein. I'm just narrating the hadith to you. The angels will surround them with their wings. That's number three. Number four, وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right now is mentioning our names to His angels. ذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ Allah is mentioning, imagine ya akhi, you know, I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say here. Imagine Allah is mentioning your name to His angels. And who am I? You may say, who am I? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning your name. Imagine, yahi, imagine if your name was mentioned by Prime Minister Trudeau. Wouldn't you feel something? He's a good man. I always make dua for him. Allah guide him. He's such an amazing man. May Allah guide him. I travel a lot, alhamdulillah, for my work. You know, and I go to different masajids and orgs and stuff. And people all over the world, they use the good hasad, good envy about our home country, alhamdulillah, and about our prime minister. They say, you guys are so lucky. I was in the UK just a few weeks ago, and people, they're having so many problems there. They say, everybody wants to move to Canada now, right? So, alhamdulillah. How about if Prime Minister Trudeau is to mention your name live on public TV? How would you feel? No, it's not prime minister or this or that. Allah. Allah right now is telling the angels, Abkanam kya hai? Abkanam? Yeah.
Well, I just asked you the question, your name. Yeah, what's your name?
Marwan. Ya malaikati, look, Marwan. Marwan, Allah is saying this. Ya malaikati, look, induru, abdi Marwan. Ya malaikati, unduru, oh malaikati, look, my servant Marwan is praising me. Ya malaikati, look. Muhammad, ya malaikati, look. Huh? Ifraz. Faraz. Fahd. Fahd. Fa'as.
What is that? Is that a name? Fa'as? Fa'as? Okay, Fa'as. Later on, you can maybe talk to your dad, say, what is this name? Just joking.
Fahas is mentioning me. Allah Azza wa Jalla right now is mentioning your name to his angels. I don't know if you understand the greatness of that. You know, the greatness of that. But beyond that, that's number four. Number five, at the end of the gathering, once we're done and we stand up, an angel will say, قوموا, stand up and leave. مغفورا لكم قد بدلت سيئاتكم حسنات. The angels will say at the very end, once we're done, an angel will announce, stand up and leave, all your sins have been forgiven and all the bad deeds have been converted to good deeds. So now, do you still want to stay or you want to leave? You stay in here, at the end what you're going to earn? You're going to earn forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're going to earn all these sins, you know, that you've been doing, the sins, Allah will convert them into good deeds. Ya'ani, these are the blessings and the virtues of this type of gatherings. So I just wanted to set the stage, inshallah ta'ala, so that we can start with our topic today, how to raise parents. And let me show you the what we're going to talk about, the agenda. We're going to talk about kindness to parents in Islam. What does it mean, parents in Islam? We're going to talk about the consequences of dishonoring the parents. The how to raise the parents is just a title to attract you. It is actually how to raise the kids, right? But how to raise the parents is just a title. But the consequences, هذا حيغلبنا اليوم بس نصبر معه. What is wrong with the parents-children relationship today? We're going to have to talk about things today. You know, I'm a marriage officer and I'm also a coach and a life coach. So and a lot of people sometimes approach me with issues, with problems, you know. So I talk to kids and I talk to the parents and I talk to the youth and I talk to the adults. I talk to, alhamdulillah, all kinds, you know. And I understand, try to, you know, assess the problems and see how we can solve the problems. What is wrong with the parents, you know, children relationship today? And also we're going to talk about some tips and directives on how to energize that relationship between us as parents and our children, regardless of their age. Regardless of their age. And at the very end, we'll talk about some rules. So first, this lecture today is split into two segments. The first segment is about the parents. And the second segment is about our children. Fair enough. Fair, yes or yes? Huh? Yes or yes? The Egyptian democracy, you know, yes or yes? Not even Pakistani, it's the same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks about parents in Islam, in the Quran, you will find in many ayat in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He mentions parents, in parallel to mentioning parents, He mentions tawheed of the, you know, His tawheed, His oneness. In Surah Al-Baqarah, in Surah Al-Nisa, in Surah Al-Isra. Let me share with you some ayat of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا.
In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
and we took covenant from Banu Israel not to worship anyone other than Allah, and that you be good to your parents. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and that you honor your parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and worship Allah and don't associate anyone with Him. And right after La ilaha illallah, right after Tawheed, He goes, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and you be good to your parents. You see, to show you the greatness of the matter, of the, you know, the importance of the parents, He mentions them right next to Tawheed, next to La ilaha illallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَنْ لَا يَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا.
One more time. In Surah Al-Isra, Allah has decreed that you worship none but Him, and that you be good to your parents. And it's a beautiful ayah when it mentions, you know, onward, and He says,
إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرِ.
المشكلة في الكبر ما هو في الصغر, المشكلة في الكبر. Who speaks Arabic, by the way, just so I know? مش كله, بس few. Who speaks Arabic? All right, alhamdulillah. And who do not speak, the rest. طيب. So we'll do both. Arabic, English, and a little bit of Urdu. I'm going to throw some Urdu, whatever I know. Like, أبكى محبة كرته, يعني something like that. في سبيل الله. It's okay to smile, يعني ما هو عيب. Smile is a sunnah. Some people, they think smiling is haram. لا أخي والله, smile is sadaqa. Smile is sadaqa. It's charity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah has decreed that you worship not but Him, and that you be good to your parents.
إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرِ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا.
الله سبحانه وتعالى says, when they reach an elderly age, when they're young, they may not need you much. They can do things on their own. They can take the trash out, and maybe they can shovel the snow on their own. They can do their own things when they're young. But once they reach a certain age, like an elderly age, and Allah says, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرِ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا. When they reach a certain age, one of them or both of them, when the hair start turning gray, one the back starts becoming, you know, kida, they cannot even walk straight. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ. Allah says, don't even say, oh, to them. If you look into the dictionary in Arabic, the dictionary in Arabic, you won't find this word, uff. It does not exist. Uff. Even that uff, you're not supposed to say to your parents. Oh, in our words today, in our terms today, oh, oh, you talk too much, dad. Oh, I'm busy, mom. Oh, you old school. Even the oh, you can say that to your parents. Oh, oh, I'm busy. You're busy? One of the pious predecessors, Junaid, he was in his salah. So now you tell me if you're busy. He was in his salah praying, and his mom called him. In the salah, he was saying, Ya Rabbi, salati am ummi. In the salah. So you may say, how busy was he? He was really busy. He was praying. And then his mom called him. So he says, oh my Lord, in his salah, mom, or my prayer, shall I keep on praying? Or shall I break my salah and attend my mother? Yes, he was not praying fard, he was praying sunnah.
He was praying nafil at home, and his mother called him. He did not attend his mother, and his mother became angry at him.
So you may say, I'm busy, I cannot attend. Oh, I'm busy with my studies. I'm busy with my homework. This man was in his salah. He cannot be any busier. Right? Yet, he got, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was displeased with him because his mother was upset. So much so, Abu Hurairah, this is all in Bukhari Muslim, Abu Hurairah, his mother called him, Ya Aba Hurairah, what did he say? Imagine what he says, when your father call you, you're here. When your father call you, how do you respond? Naam, just like that. Naam. Really? Naam. Yani this nice, naam. Just because he's here. Naam. Or sometimes you don't respond, you know, until he has to call 3, 4, 5 times and say, what? Don't they say that? What? I hate it. Don't you, parents? When your child answers, what? Don't what me? He said what? I don't like it. Don't what me? Which what? If I don't need you, I wouldn't be calling you. You tell me what? So his mother called him, Ya Aba Hurairah. What did he say? He says, Labbaik Ummah. You know Labbaik, we only say Labbaik when we go for Hajj and Umrah. Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Right? Right? This man said, Labbaik Ummah. Yes, mother. Labbaik means yes. In Arabic, yes, I'm coming. Labbaik Ummah. Oh mom, Labbaik. He felt, he raised his voice at his mother. He went, he purchased a slave, and he freed him fi sabilillah. Did he do anything wrong? He just felt, he said, yes, mom, na'am. Yes, mom, but he felt he raised his voice. Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, Ibn Mas'ud al-Sahabi. His mom said, yeah, Mas'ud, I want some water. My. You know, my in Arab, in Urdu, my means water. Pani. Right? Pani? Right. I want pani. I want some water. So he went to get her water. By the time he came back, his mother fell asleep at night. He fell asleep. So you know what he did? The whole night he was holding the glass of water and waiting for his mother to wake up. Whenever he feels tired, he sits down. Because it's the whole night, he sits down. And then when he feels sleepy, he's all about to sleep, he stands up. And then if he's tired, he sits, standing up, sleep. The whole night until his mom woke up. The first thing she looked at him, and he went to her mom, the water which you called for. He wanted the first thing when his mom wakes up, is to see him and see the water that he brought her. What do we call this in Arabic or in Islam? We call it birr al-walidain. Birr. Even if you go to translate this word bear, you will not find a good translation or a proper translation to this word bir al-walidain. All good go to the parents. So Allah says, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Don't even say uff to them. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Don't raise your voice at them. Don't scream at them. وَخْفِدْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. And lower your the wing of disgrace. You disgrace yourself. Lower the جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Have you ever seen a bird before? Have you seen a bird before? Yeah. You seen a bird flying? And then have you seen a bird flying and then landing? Bird lands. When a bird lands, what happens to the wings? Yeah, they stop. But the wing, do they go like this? Or they go like that? When he lands, does he land like this? Or he lands like that? You people never seen birds? You know, no birds? Mafi birds, you know? There's no birds here. When the birds, they fly and then they land, you will find that they will put their janah, their birds down like this. And Allah is using that analogy in the Quran saying, فَخْفِدْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. And bring or lower the janah. The janah of disgrace, of dhul min al-rahmah, just off of mercy, lower that janah to them when they come to you, when they ask you, lower your jadah, bring yourself down before them and make dua for them. وَقُلْ رَبِّ إِرْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Say, oh my Lord, have mercy upon them as they have raised me when I was a kid. You see, Allah, Allah, Allah. وَاللَّهِ أَنَا مِنَ مَجْجِدْ وَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُ. And I swear by Allah who holds my soul, and I'm swearing by Allah in a masjid, we will not know the value of our parents until the day they're gone. Once they leave and they're gone, once they depart from this life, then and only then we will really know the true value of our parents. Especially the mother. Ummuk, ummuk, ummuk. Especially the mother. The mom who has given up her dreams because of your dreams. She has given up her dreams for your dreams. And who will do that only for a mom? And I say, when a mom is gone, when a mom departs from this life, I say that the entire world changes colors. In fact, the world becomes gray and black and white. You know, when we lose colors, when the mother is gone, because everybody can be replaced. Everybody. Your friends can be replaced. Your job can be replaced. Your house can be replaced. Your car can be replaced. Your business can be replaced. Everything can be replaced, but your mother can never be replaced. Your parents, they cannot be replaced. They are who they are. You cannot go and say, you know what, I want to change my mom and look for another mom. There's no such a thing. The mom cannot be replaced. Who has been for Hajj before? Not your Umrah, but Hajj, really Hajj. I want to talk about Hajj. Because we go inshallah soon for Hajj, right? You've been for Hajj. So many times before you go for Hajj, right? People, they come and they ask you, oh, you going for Hajj? What do they ask you, please? Make dua for me. Make dua for us, please, don't forget. And they give you some dua, they give you the names. Please make dua for us, don't they? Imagine your mother is going for Hajj. Your mom is going for Hajj. Do you have to tell her, mom, make dua for me, please don't remember? You don't have to tell her that. You don't have to remind her that. Why? Because initially, she's going for Hajj just to make dua for you. She does not make dua for herself. She makes dua for her kids more than she makes for her own self. She has given up her dreams just because of your dreams, as I keep saying. Who can do such a thing other than a mom? A kid goes to his mom and he says, mom, why do you cry? Why do you cry, moms? She says, because I'm a mom. She says, mom, this makes no sense. I don't understand. What do you mean? He goes to his dad. Dad, why mom just cries sometimes by herself? She just cries. I don't understand. He says, because she is a woman. The kid doesn't understand that. He says, makes no sense to me. He grows up. He reaches a certain age. And then one day he meets this righteous wise man who asked him this question. He says, Sheikh, why do women cry? Why, you know, mothers, you know, why do they cry sometimes without any reason they cry? He says, Ya waladi, oh my son, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this woman with huge shoulders. When the family goes down, she can bring them up. Allah has given her that strength. With huge arms, when the family sometimes spread, she brings them together. With a huge heart, so many times you have disappointed her, so many times you have broken her heart, yet she chose to forgive you. Why? Because she's a mom. Because of all this, he says, but she's a human being. She goes through stress as well, and she goes through difficulties and hardship herself. Allah has given her tears to release some of that pain. Respect the tears of your moms. Respect the tears of women. We won't understand this. We won't really truly value this until the day when maybe you travel and your mom, she's far away, or maybe the day when your mom, she's no longer there. I feel the need for a hug. Can I get a hug? Me? This guy? No, you cannot. I feel the need for a hug. Can I? Oh, if you want, please. Can you all stand up and hug each other? All of you stand up. Hugs are good. Sisters, nobody wants to give hugs to each other. You all also have to give hugs to each other, inshallah. You know, it's very important. It's very important. It's like Eid, right? We give hugs to each other. There was this man who was carrying his mother all the way from, anybody from Yemen? He came from Yemen. From Yemen? Shaykh, mashallah, Ahl al-Yemen, Ahl al-Hikmah. Ahl al-Hikmah. The Prophet Muhammad, when he talks about the people from Yemen, he said the people of Hikmah, the people of wisdom, the people of al-Iman. In al-Iman Yamani, because the Yemenis, they like when you say things like this. Al-Iman Yamani, wal-Hikmah Yamaniya, wal-Asid Yamani kathalik. Iman is the Iman. The Prophet, when he talks about people from Yemen, he says the Iman is the Iman of Yemen, and the Hikmah is the Hikmah of Yemen as well. So this man came all the way from Yemen. Imagine Yemen, carrying his mother on his shoulder, going from Yemen all the way to Mecca. All the way to Mecca to perform Hajj, carrying his mother on his shoulder. And then he goes around the tawaf, you know, and his mom is on his shoulder again. And then when he finished the tawaf and everything, who did he meet? He met Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar ibn Khattab. So he told him, this is my mom, this is what I did to her. Have I fulfilled her rights? Have I given her rights? He says, you have not fulfilled not even a single contraction of when she was giving birth to you. When she was giving birth and she was going through so much pain and she was screaming off of pain to bring you out into this world. Have you ever seen someone who loved you before you were even born? She loved you before you were even born, your mom. And he says, she does this and she wishes life for you. And some of us do that, but we wish death for them. Because this other man, he took his mother to Bayt al-Khala, a place where they, you know, the people, they didn't have washrooms. They would go to the woods and do the thing. So he took his mom, they did her thing, and then he washed her, cleansed her. Have I fulfilled her, right? He says, she used to do the same thing to you when you were a baby, changing your diaper and everything, and you're screaming, and you know, she used to do the same thing to you when you were a baby, but she would wishing life for you, and you're doing the same thing to her today, but you wish death for her because you're tired of cleaning her, of feeding her. You're doing the same, but you would wish, Ya Rabbi, khalas, take her. But she's doing the same, she was doing the same to you when you were a kid, and she's, Ya Rabbi, protect my son. Ya Rabbi, protect my son. Ya Rabbi, my son. So many times she stayed hungry at night to feed you first. And so many times she did not go to sleep at night making dua for you because you were sick. Ya Rabbi Ibni, Ya Rabbi Ibni, give him shifa. Ya Rabbi, take me and leave him. Who would make dua like that for the mom, for the children other than a mom? Or this man, which is a true story, a man who had to go to the hospital because he had a problem with his hand. And then in the hospital, after the x-rays, the doctor told him, you have two options. We have to amputate the hand, the arm, the whole arm. It's got to be amputated. Otherwise, if you don't amputate the arm, the disease will spread. and you may lose the other arm. This is the, you have to, so you have to pay for the surgery. Or if you leave it, it's going to cause you problems. How much does the surgery cost? He told him the surgery cost this much. The man said, it's all right, I prefer to leave my arm. Just leave it, I'm not going to pay for the surgery. His kids came to him, it's a true story. His kids came to him and says, Dad, you've got the money, pay for your surgery, save your arm. He says, no, that money which I've been saving, it's not for me, it's not for, it is for you, elder brother, to go to school. This is the money which I've been saving so I can pay for his madrasa. I'm rather, I wish to lose an arm, but to save my son and take him to school. Who would do something like this other than a mom or a dad? Huh? So yes, came this man who took his mother on her shoulder. Have I fulfilled her right? La, you have not fulfilled, not even a small contraction when she was giving birth to you. That's why I said, we will never know the value of our mothers, of our parents. And this is why I asked, you know, to stand up and give hugs. And I wish you gave hugs to, did you hug your father? You did? Did you hug your mom? Did you hug girls? Did you hug your mothers? No? Did you give hugs to your moms? Yes? It's very important. Very important. Some of the fruits of the kindness of our parents. A way out of hardship and tribulations. This is the very well-known hadith of these three men who got, you know, who got stuck, you know, in this cave. They entered this cave and there was this hadith again is in Bukhari. Huh? Three people, they got blocked in this cave and they started asking Allah by virtue of their deeds. They're making dua to Allah by virtue of their deeds. They said, let's make dua to Allah by virtue of our deeds. Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, can help us out and get us out from here. And they started making dua. You know, one of them made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through a deed which he has done to some person, and then the cave, you know, the rock that blocked them started moving. And one man made dua to Allah by virtue of his parents. Ya Rabbi, this day so and so, my parents were with me and they were sleeping and I only have this much food. So I was saving the food for my parents and my kids were crying and I told my wife to play with them until they fall asleep. Why? Because I wanted to feed my parents first. Until my parents woke up and he fed his parents first. Ya Rabbi, if you know that I did that for your sake, get us out from here. And the rock moved by itself. The dua by virtue of a good deed that you do towards your parents. This is what I'm saying. It's a way out of hardship and tribulations. If you're having any problems at work, would you, any problems, could be at work, with a friend, with, you know, at home, if your father, if your mother is still alive, rush to them, go to them, do something to them, serve them, ask them for dua. Wallahi alladhi la ilaha illa hu. And again, I'm sworn by Allah, a dua coming from a father or a mother, especially a mom, that dua would pave the road for you to Jannah. That dua coming from a parent will pave the road for you to Jannah. Like I said, you go through any hardship or whatnot, if your parents are alive, use them, and you will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala slowly will remove that hardship that you may be going through. If you take an oath upon Allah, Allah will honor it. A man again from Yemen, Uwais al-Qurani, very well known story of Uwais al-Qurani, amazing man. Oh, I want to ask you a question. Can I ask a question? Alright, I have to ask a question, even if you say no, I will ask it. Who wants to see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Anybody? Alright, I'm going to ask you, my brother. Yes, you. If you have a chance to see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam today, in Medina, he's there. Would you go and take a flight and fly to Medina to see Prophet Muhammad? Without thinking, right away. Why? Because you want to go and earn the title Sahabi, man, right? You're going to earn the title companion because you're a believer and you believe Prophet Muhammad. But your mother said, no, don't go. Stay with me. I need you.
Now, would you go or would you stay? Honestly, you are in the masjid, don't lie. Because if you lie, the masjid will... what would you do, my friend? Mom says, stay. Prophet Muhammad is in Medina. He's waiting. He's there. What would you do? Ask Allah to guide you. Ya Rabbi, guide me. This mom, take her, let me go. Something like, guide me, Allah, show me a way. Show me the way. Yes, yes. This man, actually, he stood with his mom. He did not go from Yemen. He stood because his mother needed him. And here's another problem. When his mother passed away, Prophet Muhammad was gone too. He lost the title. Yet Prophet Muhammad, he knew about the story. So what did he say? He says, if you meet a man, and the Prophet now is describing him, if you meet this man, always Al-Qurani from Yemen, ask him to make dua. Why? Because his dua is granted. So he came in the era of Umar ibn Khattab. So many years later, not even at the time of Abu Bakr, no, in the era of the Khalifat of Umar, the Khilafah of Umar. He came after his mother passed away. He traveled to do Hajj. Who met him? Umar. And Umar, who is Umar? Umar from Al-Ashar al-Mubashirin, from the 10 people who were given the glad tidings of Jannah. Already has the glad tidings of Jannah. He met him. He says, are you always? Yes. Are you always the Quran for me? Yeah, yeah, always make dua for me. You're the one who should be making dua for me. You're the Sahabi. And I'm not saying, what do you mean? Make dua for me, ya always. Make dua for me, make dua for me. Because Prophet Muhammad says, if you were to meet him, ask him to make dua. Why? Because his dua is mustajab, is granted. What earned him that? His obedience to his mom. Which is another key. If you want Allah to answer your dua, ummuk. That's why I'm saying, if your mom, she's still alive, you're so lucky. You're so lucky, but you don't understand that luck that you have, that fortune which you live in, because she's dead, but you don't give that value. But if your mom, she's already gone, cry. And even tears will not be enough. Cry blood. Like this man from the pious predecessors, his mother passed away. He always to cry all the time. Ya akhi, your mother passed away, make dua for her. Yes, why you keep on crying? He says, how can I not cry? One of the gates of Jannah just been locked before me. The gates of heaven just been locked before me. Ummi, my mom, my parents, the gate of Jannah has just been closed before me. Ummuk is a gate of Jannah. Your mother is a gateway to Jannah. Your parents is a gateway to Jannah. One of the gateways to Jannah, your mother. I can't put any more focus on this. This is so important. You know, about the importance of honoring the parents, especially ummuk again. Your mother. May Allah bless our moms, those who are alive, and those who are dead, may Allah Azza wa Jalla shower His mercy upon them. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam says in this hadith reported by Tirmidhi, if anyone possesses these three characteristics, Allah will give them an easy death. Which means, you will have husn al-khatimah. Husn al-Khatimah means a good end. Husn al-Khatimah. How can you earn Husn al-Khatimah? The Prophet Muhammad SAW says, and bring him into Jannah, gentleness towards the weak, affection towards the parents, and kindness to the slaves. Well, today, there's no slaves. And we cannot be kind to the slaves, there's no slaves. Affection towards the parents will earn you Husn al-Khatimah, good end. Because we don't know how our end will be, my brothers and sisters. Wallahi, we don't. Some people have good end, and some people have bad end. You know, when we were in Umrah last in December was it? If some of you have not gone for Hajj al-Umrah yet, what are you waiting for? Go now. Now, don't even think. Akhi, don't think, go. You know, when what happened after every Salah in Mecca or Medina? Janaza. Every time after each salah, they announce janaza, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people janaza. I happen to pray where they put the janaiz. Aywa.
where they put the janazah. And then I saw, they bring the bodies, you know. And I saw some people who are covered. And I saw some people who are in their ihram. And their face was uncovered. But others were covered. So I didn't understand why. I was sitting there. So here's a body next to you with the ihram and the face uncovered. And the other ones covered in the shroud. And then I realized just about myself. I was thinking, why? I had a vision difference. Oh, this man died while he's in ihram saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Once he died like that, that's how he'd be buried. In your ihram. What an amazing end. What an amazing khatima. To die in such a state. There's sometimes some people who go there just, Ya Rabbi, I want to die there. Some people go to Medina just with the, Ya Rabbi, I want to die in Medina. Ya Rabbi, I want to... Yeah, the Prophet says so. You know, he says, if you want to die, die in Medina. If you can die, die in Medina. But to die in Medina, you have to live in Medina. Right? So, here the Prophet says, affection towards the parents will give you an easy death. يعني حسن الخاتمة. Oh, istighfar to them will raise their ranks in Jannah. What shall I do to my parents? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, hadith is in Bukhari again, a man saw his place high in Jannah, ranks was elevated, ranks in Jannah, high. And then he asked, Ya Rabbi, how did I get so high? How did I get this level? This level. هذا بفضل دعائي واستغفاري ابنك لك. This is through the istighfar of your son to you. Allah leave it to him. You know, this is through the istighfar your son to you. يعني the more istighfar you make for your son, asking Allah to forgive him, the more dua you make for your father, يعني when they pass away, or your mother, when they pass away, making dua for them, that dua will raise them high ranks in Jannah. If your parents have passed away, make dua for them. Because that dua, Allah through it, will raise them high levels in Jannah. You may ask, what can I do for my parents? There's so much you could do if they passed away. Something like dua, always. Or maybe performing Hajj or Umrah on their behalf. Or giving sadaqah on their behalf. Or planting a tree on their behalf. Or building a well on their name, on their behalf. This is sadaqah jariyah. Or be good to their friends like Umar ibn Khattab and Abdullah ibn Umar, who used to be, you know, who used to serve and honor his father's friends. And he was asked that question. So he says, I'm doing it to get close, to get, you know, hasanat to my father. Why? Because I'm serving his friends so he can get hasanat. So my father get hasanat. Allah, 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 Allah. Look at the understanding of Abdullah, the son of Umar. These are some of the things that you can do for your parents if they have passed away. But if they are alive, imsak, imsak, imsak. Be smart right now, you know, don't let it go. The opportunities every day, you know, go and ask them for dua. Ask them, you know, ask them to make dua for you. You never know, you know, that dua, wallah, could be again, like I said, the way to be paved to Jannah, insha'Allah ta'ala. And just so you know, I want to also mention the consequences quickly of dishonoring the parents. But you can tell me, Sheikh, what time, how much time do we have before Isha? Just so I time myself. 20 minutes. Allahu Akbar. Huh? For Adhan. Is Adhan. Okay, طيب. We may, I'll try to, but if I squeeze it, it's okay, inshallah. طيب. The consequences, we need to understand this. The consequences of dishonoring them, of being mean to them, of disobeying them. The Prophet Muhammad says three times, hadith in Bukhari. This hadith is narrated by Abi Bakrah, not Abu Bakr Siddiq, Abi Bakrah. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَكْبَرِ الْكَبَائِرِ. Shall I tell you about the major sins? The major sins. The Sahaba said, yes, Allah, tell us about the major sins. He says, the first thing, he says, عُقُوقُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. Dishonoring the parents is considered to be a major sin, because we have the concept of major and minor. Dishonoring the parents is considered to be major. Something major means it leads you to hellfire. Wallahi, you could come with mountains of charity. You could come with mountains of hajj. Yes, I know what I'm saying. You could come with mountains of hajj and charity and mountains of salah. Of salah. But because you've been dishonoring the parents, that person would be a loser. There's another hadith. Abdullah ibn Umar, he narrates, hadith reported by Imam al-Hakim in his Mustadrak, and al-Nasa'i fi sunan, that the Prophet Muhammad says, ثلاثة لا ينظر الله إليهم يوم القيامة. Three kinds of people, Allah will not look at them in the day of judgment, which means they will be amongst the losers. You may come, like I said, with mountains of good, but Allah will not look at them. Why? You know, the Prophet says three kinds of people. Allah will not look at them in the day of judgment. Number one, العاقل والديه. The first one, العاقل والديه. The one who dishonor his parents. It doesn't matter what good did you do. It doesn't matter what khair you do, what sadaqah you do, what Quran you read, why saum, why siyam, why la 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 la. If you have dishonored your parents, all that thing will be of no good to you. Because of the parents. Who said? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. You may say, Shaykh, but they're gone now, huh? And I was so bad, what can I do to make up? Tawbah, first of all, of course. Tawbah. And do the things which I have said. Dua for them. Istighfar. Do some charity on their behalf. Charity on their behalf. You know, Umrah, Hajj, you know, build a tree somewhere, or a tree, or a fruitful tree, or a well somewhere on their behalf, so that people are drinking from that water, and then every time they drink, the ajr goes to your parents. There's so many things that you could do. Again, another thing that will, you know, consequence of dishonoring the parents, deprivation from Jannah. Of course, deprivation, you have prevented yourself from entering Jannah. And remember, my brothers, sisters, remember the saying that says, what goes around, comes around. In Arabic we say if'al ma shi't, because the Prophet says kama tadinu tudan, if'al ma shi't, whatever goes around comes around. You know what that means? Have you ever heard whatever goes around comes around? Well, however you treat your parents today, Allah may bless you or afflict you with kids that will treat you exactly the same. Wallahi, we've seen it with our own eyes, with our own eyes. There's so many examples. What goes around, comes around. So we need to rethink, inshallah ta'ala, and reassess, you know, your treatment to your parents, your relationship with your parents, and try to strengthen that relationship before it's too late. My brothers and sisters, do children have any rights? I need to move to the children now. Just to be fair, wallala, fair. Parents, who are parents here? Raise your hands, parents. Do our children have any rights? Yes? Do they have rights? Huquq? Do we say this huquq to them? Or they are, or who defined these rights? Islam defined the rights? All right, let's talk about them. Let me ask you some questions. Do our children have any rights before we just something to think about, inshallah ta'ala, right? Again, eventually we want to improve our relationship with our children. Do you spend quality time with your kids? Quality time. Yes, we do. We all sit and watch TV and, you know, take the remote control, make tasbih, and the kids are there, you know, and they're there sitting and with quality time, you know, with the kids. Do you spend, think. Do you spend quality time with your kids? Is that, huh? How do you talk to your kids? Oh, my brother. How do you talk to your kids? Do you have any kids? MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Do you talk to him or her? Her. Okay. Do you talk to her or at her? To her. How do you talk? Is it like, you know, Wallahi was giving a lecture just like this a long time ago at another masjid. And then one of my students came to me. He said, Shaykh, my father, I have this big issue. My mother wants me to marry this girl. Oh, we do that. Now I'm going to speak some of your language. I'm going to kick something here now. You know, my mother wants me to marry this, my cousin from back home. Back home. I don't want to marry her, ya Shaykh. I don't want to marry her, he says. But my mother, she insists. And his father was there. And his father is also a student of mine. He used to come to my lectures. So I called the father. He says, come, come. What are your son is saying? You know, what is this? He says, yeah, Sheikh, it's not me. Wallah, it's the mom. And the father, miskin, kida, he's a sheep. Nah. He's a good father. He's a good man. He's a good man. No, he's not. He's a good man. So his mom is saying, if you don't marry her, the mom is saying she's going to commit suicide. Well, this is like, you know, she wants to die because if this marriage has to happen, it's a family thingy. When your father comes to you, says, you either marry your cousin Fatima or your cousin Fatima. I'm giving you two options. Choose one. He already gave you two options. Fatima or Fatima, the same girl. Pick one. Huh? So, how do we talk at our kids? I'm your dad, you listen to me. I'm your mom, you listen to me. You, I know, you do not know. I know, you don't know. This is how we talk to them. I'm just trying to raise some questions here. Some of the kids and some of the youth are already smiling, maybe because this is something is happening there. Do you play with your kids? Do you have fun with them? Do you have fun with your parents? Yeah. Yeah, what kind of fun? Play sports like cricket? Basketball? Oh, really? Your father, you know, plays like you shoot some hoops and stuff with your father? That's nice. Huh? Oh, you teach him? Oh, mashallah. Yeah, it's all right. Does your father play? I didn't ask you, man. I asked your kids. Because the father said, yeah. No, I'm asking him. Your father? Really? He plays? What kind of games? You don't know. Because your father said yes, so you said yes, right? May Allah forgive you. Something like this. Do you give praise to your children when they do something good? You know, you praise them and give them encouragements. MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. Things like that. Whatever they try to do something and then they fail. And then you just give it to them and on their head, you're a failure, this, you're that. You can never do something good. You know, you're the loser. Wallah, you give them some praise. You know. Do you always insist, oh yeah. Do you always insist in having the last word? You can't lie about this, man. Huh? The wife? No, I'm talking about the kid. The wife, she's the boss, man. I mean, come on, man. Do you always, insist in having the last word? Do you always insist in having the last word? Yes. Yeah. Sometimes. But all the time. Sometimes. Even if you're wrong. I'm never wrong. I'm a dad. No. Just think about these things. Here's some of the, after talking to a lot of youth and kids, you know. So I collected some information from them as to what is really wrong. You know, what do they complain about? Some of the things they complain about. They say, my parents do not understand me. One of the main complaints I hear about from the youth, my parents don't understand me. They don't understand where I'm coming from. I go to school. Yeah, you know, understand is not speaking the language. You know, they speak your language, but it's another language that we need to talk to. You know, they need to understand the language of our kids. They don't understand. They've got totally no clue of what I'm going through. They don't understand me. Here's one complaint. Another complaint is, they do not have time for me. Mom, her time is the kitchen or the mirror. The mirror, you know the mirror? Anyway, she's front of the mirror 24/7. You know, the maskhara or whatever, you know, they put in the mirror. And or kitchen. Wallah hada, wallah friends, wallah outside. You know, no time. The father thinks he's a minister of finance. His, you know, thing is to come and pay the bills. He comes from work, you know, it's busy. He gets a bite to eat, goes again, take the remote control and make tasbih, you know, with it, you know, flipping channels, watching TV, and then he goes to sleep. Nobody got time for me. You know, I'm busy. Where? You know, they're busy, I'm busy. I'm also in my room. I'm in my room, on my tablet, on my phone. Well, like sometimes I see parents with their children in restaurants, right? We go sometimes, and we see them. It's a time where you're supposed to be together and talk together to one another and whatnot. She's in her phone. The kid is on her phone. Wallah has in. And then the parents are looking at each other. You know, the guys and the girls are you know, chatting and I don't know what they're doing on their phone. And then when the food comes, they eat and they're on the phone. Eat and... You people do that? You guys do that? You do that? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. One time I was calling my daughter. And my wife said, and she didn't answer because she's in the, my wife said, text her.
I said, oh Allah, I'm not texting her. Not in my house. I call her, she has to come. I call her, we start talking, we text. Salaam, come mama, what do you want Baba? I want to talk to you. You know, we're talking. I said, I'm not doing that. I cannot permit that in my house. I cannot, you know, we're family. I can suddenly, every time I call you, I have to send you a message. Baba, please wake me up. I then send her a message. Yes, I'll woke you up, you know. You can't do that. You know, it's just like we need sometimes, our kids need to grow and not to grow up, and we need to grow up as well. I need a role model at home, but I cannot find one. I can't find one. Here's another complaint I get from the kids. I cannot find a role model. What happens? You know, my mom, you know, I go to school, you know, hijab, you know, and my mother, she doesn't wear hijab. You know, I learn about them in the masjid, about Salat al-Fajr, but my father doesn't wake up for Fajr. My mother doesn't wake up for Fajr. I heard about the importance of coming to the masjid. No, but my parents don't come to the masjid. You know, so I don't have a role model. I'm confused. I don't even know. Because in the masjid I'm learning something, and then at home I'm seeing something different. I'm confused. Sometimes we confuse our own children. Do you want to make adhan? And then we can come, we can... Because I still have a few more items to finish quickly, inshallah ta'ala. Huh? Yeah, make. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Huh? We make it before the Salah. طيب إن شاء الله. جزاك الله خير. طيب. Quickly. I learned professional lying at home. Is another complaint I know down from some of the youth and kids. I see always my mother lying to my father lying to my mother, and you know, and so I learned lying from home. You are wondering why I'm not praying? Why there's nobody praying at home? This is why I don't pray. It's another thing I learned, you know, I got from there. Why am I not married till now? Because my father gave me two options. To marry my cousin or my cousin. Same one, Ahmed or Ahmed, you know, from back home. Thanks to TV and facade book and movies and bad company for all the bad characters that I have. Here's another complaint I got from the kids. My role models are celebrities in sports and movies. Who's your role model? Really, really. Don't lie. Huh? Role model. Yeah, and you have a person that you use as a role model? Throw it. No, nobody. Who's your role model? Nobody. Who's your role model? You? Who's your role model? Your mom. Ya salam. You see? Ajeeb. Inshallah. A lot of people don't say that. Why I don't understand the Quran? Why my father's main concern that I must be a physician or an engineer? I'm from the Khan family. Gotta be a doctor or engineer or a doctor. Be a doctor or a doctor. You know the Khan family? The Khan? You have to be a doctor. A doctor. My parents have no clue to the challenges facing me. Is another thing I got from the kids. Even when Allah guided me, my father is against me attending halaqas or wearing a beard or, you know, wearing hijab. My father or my mother, you know, this is all together. My father wants me to shave my beard. Or my mother wants me to remove hijab. Wallahi, one sister, she wrote something to me a long time ago. You know, my mother is coming all the way from back home, traveling to Canada. She's crying, this girl. She heard I'm wearing hijab. She just heard I started wearing hijab. She took a flight all the way to come and beat me up because I'm wearing hijab. You know, look at this. My mother does not want me to wear the hijab till I marry. Here's another thing. You know, shui. You know, inshallah, once you get married, because if you wear hijab now, nobody will marry you. Huh? Nobody. You look ugly. Well, wait until you wear hijab, until you get married, and then you can get married. What are the rights of the children? This is taken from Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, when a man came to him, right? A man came to him and he says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, my son does not respect me, does not honor me. So Umar ibn Khattab, he says, let me call your son, I want to talk to him. And then the son says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I know my father has rights upon me. Do I have any rights upon my father?
He says, yes. He says, tell me, what are my rights over my father? He says, your right over your father is, number one, he has to pick a good name for you. He has to choose a good mom for you. And then he has to teach you Quran. He has to teach you deen. He has to teach you deen. He says, Ya Amir Mu'mini, how about if I tell you that my father did not do none of these? The mom, my mom, she doesn't care. The name he picked for me is not a good name. And then he did not teach me no Quran, no deen, no nothing. He doesn't even care. And then Umar ibn Khattab, he told the boy, the man, he says, you have dishonored your kid before he dishonored you. You have dishonored him. So kids, our children, they have rights upon us. And we need to understand and assume those rights before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We come before Him in the Day of Judgment and we'd be held from our back. Wallahi, we're from our neck. From our neck, we'll be held. The children will say, Ya Rabbi, it's not. Held him responsible. My father is responsible. My mother is responsible. We're not responsible. So this is something that we need to really, really, you know, understand. And quickly, inshallah, tell us that we can end this. You know, if you want to improve and energize that relationship with your parents, lead by example. You know, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تَكُونَ إِمَامِ فَكُنْ أَمَامِ. You know, if you want to be the imam, be in the front. So you need to learn how to lead by example as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. Build emotion towards your children. When was the last time you told your child that you love him? You know, when was the last time you told him, I love you? Does your father say that to you? Moment, huh? He said that? Really, really? When was the last time he said it? Last year? Do you tell your children that you love them? You try. Nafish try, yahi. You have to do it. You know, do you tell your children that you love them? Please, this is very important. Very, very important. Wallahi, they say that. You know, even the experts in this field of children pedagogy, they say our children, they are in need of more than money that we give them, more than the food that we feed them. They need our affection. They need our love. They need you to tell them how much you care and how much you love them. They really understand that and they really value it. You may not see it, you may not understand it, but really for them, it makes a very, 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 you know, it's so important. Malak al-Mawt is behind me. Quickly, Yuakida. Tayyib, khalas, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah Azza wa Jalla. You know, there's a lot more to say. Maybe at some other time we can, you know, share that with you, bi'idhnillah, inshallah ta'ala. But, you know, in a nutshell, at the end, as we talked about parents, we have to talk about the children. And, you know, what we want is, inshallah ta'ala, to improve this relationship so that, inshallah ta'ala, we want to go together to Jannah with our children. You know, you cannot have a father, mashallah, who's in the high level in Jannah and the child is not, or the child is in Jannah and the father is not. But we want to, inshallah ta'ala, improve that relationship here in this dunya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make your homes. I pray that Allah Azza wa Jal make your homes like the homes of the Prophet Muhammad, inshallah ta'ala. I ask Allah make your homes like the homes of the Sahaba. I ask Allah to bless your homes and bless your loved ones, and Allah Azza wa Jal to put, you know, to bless your health and wealth. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you all, with your children and your loved ones, the highest level in Jannah. Say Ameen. May Allah bless you all. Zakum Allah khair. Thank you for coming and honoring us with your presence. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahu hamdik. Shadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.